If you have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in the book of 1 Kings. Book of 1 Kings. Thank the Lord for the good singing tonight. And appreciate all of the good service thus far. Appreciate the good lunch today and all of those that prepared that for us. We thank you for your kindness to us. We began this morning and want to continue tonight. As far as I can see, six different people in the Bible had an experience with a tree. And so we're preaching in these days on being rightly related, not to a tree, but the tree, rightly related to the tree. We found this morning that Adam and Eve found themselves behind a tree. It was the tree of the fallen. Tonight I want to turn our attention, if I could, to 1 Kings chapter number 19. And I want us to see tonight that Elijah, this is not some redneck from North Carolina or Georgia. This is the fair-haired boy that could call fire down out of heaven. This is a guy who could sit on the bank of a river and have ravens fly his supper in. But he finds himself in this text under a tree. And it is the tree of the fainting. Tree of the fainting. The Bible says in verse number 1, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. He has just finished killing 450 preachers single-handedly by himself." That's what has happened. "Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." She sent him a message and she said, about this time tomorrow, she said, "I'm going to make mincemeat out of you." The Bible says in verse number 3, "When he saw that, he arose and went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down," ruh-roh, "under," he's under a tree now, "under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it's enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's." The tree of the fainting. Fainting is very rampant in these days in religious circles. Many have missed church so long they don't miss it anymore. They fainted. They have fallen by the wayside. I don't doubt before this is over, many more of you will join those ranks. Fall by the wayside. Give up. Lose heart. Fainting is always an inside job long before it's an outside reality. Finding your happiness tonight in your happenings can lead to fainting. Undealt with feelings, unresolved feelings of being offended. They offended. It hurt my feelings. And you never dealt with it. lead to fainting. Unchecked depression, you don't wheel it in, could lead to fainting. Undealt with feelings of bitterness, discontent with your present circumstances, could lead to fainting. Hurt feelings not dealt with are very dangerous, lead to fainting. Proverbs says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flows all, not some, all the issues of life. Paul said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you don't faint. I did not know if you knew it or not. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there is a possibility tonight that you could get your feelings hurt while you're over here and never come back. Somebody could cross you tonight and you never come back over here again. Hurt feelings, fainting. You say, oh, preacher, that's a woman thing. Bless God, I'm a strong man. It won't ever happen to me. It did, Elijah. You ain't called no fire down out of heaven lately, have you? He did. You couldn't take on 450 men by yourself, could you? He did. How did this fainting operate in the life of Elijah? I notice in our text tonight as we unpack it that for Elijah, fear grips the heart. Fear grips the heart. I see in verses 2 and 3 there is the seeing of fear. Jezebel sends him a note in verse number 2, a message. And the only thing I can fear, this is awful deep, I don't even know if you can get this or not, that the messenger came and read the message. Duh, it's deep. But the Bible says that he didn't hear it. But it says in verse 3, he saw it. Wow. He didn't hear it. He saw her making mincemeat out of him. And fear struck his heart. Things are not always the way they seem. That's why we so desperately need spiritual discernment. Elijah has prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Prayed again and it rained. Filled a widow's meal barrel with meal. Ravens brought him food, meat and bread. He raised the dead, called fire down out of heaven, killed 450 prophets of Baal. But a message from one wicked woman had scared the fire out of him. Never happened to me. Did to him. Seeing of fear. I'm reminded tonight of the spirit of fear. You know, fear is an awesome thing. It's an instrument that God often allows to be used to really get our attention. I don't know about you, I'm a very fearful person. Matter of fact, I have on numerous occasions, not one case, numerous occasions, had my shadow scare me. Leviticus says this, and upon them that are left alive, I will send a fainting unto their hearts, and the sound of a shaking leaf will cause them to flee when none are chasing them. Wow, just a scared to death. I grew up in a home where my grandmother lived with me all my growing up days. And she was a very fearful lady. She had a daughter get killed coming home from the bus stop one night. And she was Miss Portsmouth, and somebody stopped her after she got off the bus and threw carbolic acid in her face. And she died the next day. She had a son-in-law commit suicide out in the backyard. She had a husband that was a drunk and died and left her with six children still at the house. She said she buried him face down so he couldn't dig his way back up. But she had a ritual every night. She looked under every one of the beds twice. She looked in every one of the closets twice. She checked all the gas jets twice. She checked all the doors twice, and she checked all the windows twice before she went to bed. And after I got married, she moved in with us and continued that ritual at my house. And after she died, she passed that ritual on to me. Fearful person. You say, I ain't scared of nothing. You ain't had God to scare you yet. He scared the fire out of Elijah. He's fainting. I remember some time ago that God really helped me with my fears, probably more than I had ever been helped with my fears. Probably have told you this story or you've heard it from somewhere. I was in Missouri on a 750-acre cattle ranch. She didn't go with me. That's why I have her to travel with me. I always put her between me and the door. If we were to have a gun, I'd keep a gun because she ain't scared of nothing. But I'm scared of everything. And that cattle ranch, there was no landline out there, and my cell phone said no service. And all of the things that I am petrified of, God had put them in one house that I was going to stay for 5 days. One thing I hate is places that have got more than one door. I hate that because that means I've got a bunch of places I've got to keep an eye on that somebody's going to come in and get me. Matter of fact, when I remodeled my house, I bricked up one of the doors. Who in the world would build a house and put the windows on the ground level where all you got to do is open them and step in? That's where I found myself. And I thought really and truly that God had done his best to capsize in one room, in one house, every fear that I had. Because the preacher realized I was scared to death, but I had pulled up my big boy britches. Oh, preacher, you ain't got to worry about me. I'll be fine out here. After he left, I realized that God had saved the best for last when I went into the kitchen to get a drink of water. And I spied out of the corner of my eye not one mousetrap, not two mousetraps, not three mousetraps, but four mousetraps in the kitchen. You got four mousetraps, you have mouse problem. Mouse come by, I get on table. So here, I'm petrified. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, when some have no troubles, they have a factory in their minds that create make-believe troubles. Their troubles are like homemade clothes. They never have a proper fit, and it's almost impossible to wear them out. So it is with fear. But it was in that house that God allowed me to get some help with my fears by giving me two verses from the Bible. One of them was Paul's writings in Romans chapter 8, where he says he has not given us a spirit of fear, but he says he's given us a spirit of what? Adoption. How many of you here tonight, this is yes, this is no, this is I don't know. How many of you believe when you got saved, God adopted you? This would be a good answer. If you believe that, you believe he picked you. I want that one. I like that, don't you? Only time I ever got picked, I heard them say, we'll take Gillum if you give us that first bat. That's the only time I ever got picked. So here I am in this house. He says he's given us the spirit of adoption that I could call him not Father, but Abba Father. Papa, Dada. While there in that house, I realized having some of the grandkids over, if they come in my room at night and tell me they're afraid, I do not tell them, you suck it up, go get back in your bed. Never. I know what they're going through. I said, we'll make you a bed down here beside me, or you can get in the bed. I often have told them to maybe keep saying this over and over in their mind. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And out there in that cattle ranch, every time I got scared to death, the noises in the life, I would call out, Dada, I'm trusting in you. It's the craziest thing. You wouldn't believe it. It worked. It worked. I was interested in that little phrase, what time I am afraid I will trust in thee. I was recently redid John Patton, spent 46 years with cannibals in the New Hebrides Islands. He translated the Bible into their language. And when he first started working on the Bible, he could not find a word for believe or trust. He diligently tried his best. They just didn't have a word. And you know, if you're going to translate the Bible, you got to have that word, believe and trust. Him and one of the natives had been up in the mountains and they had killed a deer. It was a gigantic deer, and they had hauled it back between the two of them, and they were totally just wiped out. And as soon as they got back to the village, they laid down on some hammocks, and he said he heard the native man. He says, oh, how wonderful it is to rest all the weight. He said, there's my word. Oh, how wonderful it is to rest all of my weight upon God. Oh, tonight, when fearful times come tonight, Papa, Dada, I'm resting all my weight upon you. For Elijah, fear gripped the heart. But I notice in our text, in this fainting issue, under a tree. I'm not being nosy tonight. God forbid I'd stick my nose in your business. Any of you under a tree tonight? Your situation has left you down, pressed, dark, shadow. Preacher, I don't know why. It's got this dark cloud over my head. You better check it. You better check it. Lead you places you don't want to go. You listening to me? For Elijah, not only did fear grip his heart, but fainting gaps the heart. Pity parties, thumb sucking, discouragement, discontentment with life will put a distance between you and God. You cannot draw nigh to God and suck your thumb at the same time. Amen. Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. Always be a distance between you and him. Notice how it worked in the life of Elijah. I noticed there was a downward gap. The Bible says in verse number 2, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah. He has sent the message. The Bible says in verse number 3 and 4 that he went a day's journey to a place called Beersheba. He's in Jezreel, where Jezebel lives. And he went down to Beersheba. It is a southward track. It is a downward movement. Almost everybody in the Bible that took a downward plunge was very dangerous. Abraham went down to Egypt. While he was down there, he got Hagar and created a battle for us that we still fight tonight. Naomi went down to Moab, cost her a husband and two sons. Old Jonah, he went down to Tarshish. He caught an Uber whale ride back. It's dangerous to get down. Hey, Joseph went down to Egypt under the divine ordained plan of God, and he hit the mother lode while he was down there. God has ordained you to get down. You will be greatly rewarded for it. He's gone down. But I thought this was interesting. You'd almost think God wrote the Bible. Verse number 4, but he himself went a day's journey, what? Into the wilderness. God does not know the way into the wilderness. He only knows the way through the wilderness. If you're in a wilderness tonight, God can't help you unless you want to go through it.
It's all right. Yes.
If you'll remember in Matthew chapter 4, after he was baptized, the Bible says he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. He went into the wilderness, so I never have to go into one again. All I have to do is go through it. Well, how do I get through it? Here it is. It's deep, deep, deep theological truth here. Follow him. Follow him. See, if you're going through it, you can pray, here it comes, and glory to God, there it goes. But see, some of you like being in the wilderness. You wouldn't have anything to whine about if you wasn't in the wilderness. Huh? Are you listening to? You may get like that last song today, son. You might get happy. Are you listening to me? My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is what? Follow. Follow. Took a downward gap. He's in the wilderness. But I see tonight feigning gap in the heart. Involves a downward gap, but I notice it involves a depressing gap. The Bible says in verse 4, but he himself would have day's journey into the wilderness and came, and that's a mistake. Sat down. No forward progress. He ain't a going through. He's a staying in. Oh, be careful tonight when your troubles have brought you to stop your forward progress with God. Dangerous to stop your forward progress. Throw the towel in. I've had enough of this. There's no discharge from God's army. If he's ever saved you, you don't get out. But the Bible says that he sat down under a juniper tree. I was interested in that little word juniper. I checked the little Hebrew word. It means to bind up with present circumstances. This virus got you bound up. The little word juniper, we get the root word of depression, discontent, dissatisfied with life. Matter of fact, he says in verse number 4, he says, I've had enough of this. He says, now, O Lord, take away my life. He's having a pity party. He is requesting suicide by God. Wanting God to kill him. Love what one of the old writers said. You know good and well he didn't want to die. He's lying through his teeth. Preacher, what makes you think he's lying? He stayed up there at Jezreel. She's fixing to take care of it for him. He'd already had her done. He'd already made the crossing. You know, getting down to the point tonight of thinking about taking your life is a very dangerous place to get. I wouldn't make these statements tonight. I don't know any of your history or background. I wouldn't make these statements tonight to rub a wound. But I would make this statement to you that are alive tonight, that may would create something in you that you would not cause some wounds in others. Arthur Pink, the great preacher of yesterday, he was asked, can you kill yourself and still go to heaven? I love Pink's answer. He said, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say. Wow. It's an interesting statement, isn't it? Then Pink made this statement. He says, but I do know this. It's a fearful thing to go out into eternity uninvited. You didn't get an invitation to come. To stand before the tribunal judgment seat of God with the last sin on your hand, the sin of rebellion, telling God, I'm going to have it my way. Pink said, I do know that that's a dangerous thing. Are you listening to me tonight? He has come to this point. This is an Old Testament prophet with such power that you and I have never had. Arthur Pink calls suicide the silent rebellion. Be careful of downward mood swings. They're extremely costly if not checked. Checked. Fear grips the heart. Fainting gaps the heart. I notice in our text that feelings, if you're a touchy-feely person, feely. Dangerous stuff. Be a feely person. Feelings guile the heart. Elijah's consumed with self-deception. He makes a statement in verse number 10, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken the covenants and thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He said, God, I am the last bulwark standing. Ain't nobody standing like me. You ever get to feeling like that? Ain't nobody at this house does anything but me. Self-deception. He thought probably that God hadn't heard him the first time, so he run it by him again. Verse number 14. He says, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants, thrown down thy altar, slain thy prophets with a sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Self-deception. You know, you really and truly
Don't think that God waits for you to get up in the morning so he can get something done, do you? He waited all night. Boy, I wish they'd hurry up and get up so we can get some things done. Oh, when they get up, we can get it done. Surely you ain't stupid enough to think that he is ever. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Self-deception. But I notice in our text there's a sovereign declaration. God comes back to his little declaration that he's the only one doing anything. Chapter number 19 and verse 18. He says, yet if I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath kissed him. You might could put this in Twitter language. Hashtag still small voice. Hashtag 7,000 still standing. Hashtag ain't none of them under no juniper tree want me to kill them. Hello. Feelings guile the heart. But I see last of all tonight that food grows the heart. If you're having any of these feelings tonight, you better arise quickly and eat. And I ain't talking about your mama's biscuits either. I'm talking about this blessed old book. Says in chapter number 19 and verse number 5, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him. Bible tells us in verse 7 is the angel of the Lord. I believe it was a Christophany, a public, personal, visible appearance of Jesus Christ. He tells him, he says, I have got a cake baking on the coals. The cake baking on the coals, the Old Testament picture of the crucified Christ. He has gone through the fires of judgment. He says there is a cruse of water at your head. The water speaks of the word of God. Together they are milk and meat. If you're having these feelings, arise, get in the book. It's the only thing that'll help you. It's the only thing that'll set you free. Why in the world would Elijah want to do that? I noticed for him because there was a great journey ahead. He said in verse number 7, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. I was interested in that little phrase, too great. It is the same phrase that is used up in verse number 4. It's enough. Same phrase. He's telling him, when he told God, I've had enough of this, I can't take no more. He said, you're right. He said, the journey I'm fixing to take you on is more than you can handle. Wow. Told him right out of the gate. Well, what am I going to do? Arise and eat. Are you listening to me? There was a great journey, more than you can handle. The only thing you can take in the dark is what you have learned in the light. Proverbs 24:10 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Arise and eat. I'm reminded of the little boy by the roadside in Texas, road rutted out, shooting marbles. Old man came by in a carriage. Done about shook him to death. He stopped. He said, Sonny, is the road always like this? Yep. He says, does it get any better? Little boy quit shooting marbles. Stood up. He said, "Sir, it's just like this all the way to the graveyard at town." But he said, "On the other side of the graveyard," he said, "they have paved it, and it's smooth all the way in." I'm here to tell you tonight, fainting spells will be from here on out. But after the graveyard, smooth all the way in. Great journey. But I notice there's gracious justice. Chapter number 19. I notice in verses 15 and 16, he speaks to Elijah out of a small, still voice. The Lord said unto him, "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, where thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet." What? "Yes, Elijah, I have got your substitute. You've had enough. I've got your replacement. You can throw the towel. Ah, bless God, I've had enough of this Holly Springs mess. I'm leaving here." Go ahead. God has got the new person to sit in your pew, and they're headed this way. He says, "I've got your replacement, Elijah." But you know, God doesn't always work it like this. But he gave Elijah a second chance. Because it was after arising and eating that Elijah was allowed to go down and announce to Rahab and Jezebel that the dogs were going to eat their bodies. I love to have done that, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you love to go to one of these Democrats' house and say, "About this time tomorrow, the dogs are going to eat you"? Man, that would be thrilling. Man, that would be wonderful. He got to do that. He called fire down out of heaven. He throwed the mantle on Elisha with a double portion. He caught a Uber chariot ride out of here, ended up several hundred years later on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he ain't died yet. But everybody don't get to do that. If you get down tonight, fainting, arise and eat. I came across this old Charles Wesley song the other day from the 1700s. I don't think I've ever heard it sung before. It was in an old songbook. "Soldiers of Christ, arise. Soldiers of Christ, arise. Put your armor on, strong in the strength which God supplies through his eternal Son. Strong in the Lord of hosts and in his mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus trust is more than conquerors." I love the last verse. "Leave no unguarded place, no weakness of the soul. Take every virtue, every grace, and fortify the whole. From strength to strength, go on, wrestle and fight and pray. Tread all the powers of darkness down. And win the well-fought day." If you're feeling a little faint tonight, spiritually, arise, eat, follow him. How come? He's a going through. He's not going into. Would you stand with us tonight? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Sister Kim's going to come to the piano, play us a little something softly. I wonder if you're dealing with some of these unchecked feelings tonight. Discontent with your circumstances. Bitterness. Depression. Things just ain't going like you want them to go. I wonder tonight if you sense a need. Root you out a place in this altar. Check those feelings. Arise. Arise. Eat. Follow him. He's going through. Maybe you're here tonight and burdened down with sin. Presence of sin in your life has struck you with the fear that you're going to hell if you were to close your eyes in death. Can I offer you a remedy? Arise, eat, follow him. He's a going through. God's speaking to you tonight. Check some of these feelings. Altar's open. Dangerous for you to have those feelings and then leave here tonight with those feelings unchecked. It may take you to the point before night is over that you've had enough. You've had enough. Why don't you come tonight? Check those feelings. While we wait, altar's open.
We began the day in John 13. All those disciples wanted to get at his feet. Remember, he wanted to get at their feet. I'd say all those men probably thought their feet were clean. Didn't need no attention. But he knew just exactly what they needed. Now we have preached and prayed for weeks that we might get at his feet, that we might come to his table, and here we are. But the Lord knows just what you and I need. Some of you standing here tonight, you are fallen. You know not the Lord. And you know not the Lord. Some of you here tonight, you're dealing with a feigning temptation. I mean, the Lord knows what you and I need. What's so critical is that within hours of our Lord washing their feet, his feet would be pierced for them. Just days, hours away. The Lord knows what's coming next. May you and I be obedient to his voice. Because if you and I are truly going to get at his feet, we've got to be willing to do and deal with whatever he says deal with. How about it tonight? We're going to close in a word of prayer. I trust you listening to his voice tonight. Father, I thank you for the preaching of the word of God this day. Lord, if it could happen to Elijah, it can happen to us. And the truth is, if we'd all get honest, it has happened to us. It has happened to us. And Lord, we don't know what will take place hours from now. But Lord, you do. So Lord, you know how to tend our feet. You know how to get at our feet to work in our hearts and to work in our lives. Lord, I'm glad the word of God will not return void. God, thank you for the man of God. Sharing his heart tonight, opening up the word of God tonight. Lord, thank you for sending unto us that which we need for our lives today. And Lord, for any tomorrows we may see, Lord, you'll be sufficient. And what you say today will help us then. Lord, I pray, God, we'd be praying in these next several hours and days for you to manifest yourself, to speak, O God. Lord, whether it's a still, small voice, or Lord, whether you shout and thunder as from Sinai, you ever say the right thing, the right way, the right time unto us. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. In your holy, righteous name we pray. Amen and amen. I challenge you to be praying throughout the day, night and day for Brother Tom. Be back in here now. Men, we'll resume our prayer room, but we'll come back downstairs tomorrow night, and Brother Sammy's class for the next couple nights. Now, some of you I know will be coming from work, and you may not be able to be in the prayer rooms, but we'll start praying about 15 till or so, maybe at least by then. Be faithful to come and get at the feet of God's man, and you can get what you need for your heart and for your life. Amen. Thank the Lord for the good day. Now, don't smother and overwhelm them, because we can't do all that handshaking, but you speak to Brother Tom. If you're visiting with us tonight, whether by Zoom or in person, we'd be glad to have you as a part of our service. You're at liberty if you've gotten at his feet.